How many are ready for week three of Choose Joy? I'm excited about teaching today and anticipating growing in the Word of the Lord today and taking another step in this Choose Joy series. We have been making choices each week, and I believe they are choices that will better our lives, choices that will ultimately lead us to lasting joy. That's what all of this is about. That's what we're teaching, because all of us want lasting, sustained joy. We want joy that lasts, not temporary emotion that is based in perfect circumstances, because I think we all know we're all mature enough in life, mature enough spiritually, that there are no perfect circumstances. There are no perfect situations. I know we may, you know, get to the end of a day and say, "Wow, that was a good day." I mean, no bad news, no phone calls that flipped the day upside down, no arguments with spouse. You know, that was just a good day, and so I've got a reason to be happy, or a reason to smile just a little bit bigger. But we all know that there are no perfect circumstances. So we start looking for Jesus joy, not circumstantial joy, not joy that's predicated on situations, but joy that is rooted in my relationship with the Lord. But like we taught last week, John 10 and 10, the thief, which really that word can be defined as pickpocket. The thief. He's always, I don't know if you've ever been, you know, in a major city or something, and you feel like you got to watch. I've traveled different parts of the world and knew there were people shadowing me or stalking me. You know, they were watching out. You know, and I just found myself kind of shoving money deeper into my pocket, or just making sure, you know, that no one could reach in and snatch something or grab something of mine. But that is how the thief operates. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. We broke those things down last week and talked about how sin does this to us. You can catch up on YouTube and allow that word to build and bless your life. But of course, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I've come that you can have joy. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the way to have life to the full, the way to have joy is to be in Christ. The new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. So the way to experience this kind of joy, the way to experience this sustained fulfillment and this sustained happiness is to be in Christ. But I believe there is a divine order. There is a divine order to joy. J-O-Y. J is Jesus. If you want to have joy, you have to have Jesus. A divine order. Joy on purpose. Joy for a reason. Jesus is the beginning of that joy. Any desire for happiness or joy must begin with Jesus. Amen. And I know when you say that, there is something inside of you that says, I mean, really? I mean, everything, all of my joy is in Jesus? I'm from the old school, and the old school taught us that any pleasure outside of Jesus was sin. I know, I've struggled with that for 35 years, 35 plus years, because at the outset it just sounds, wait a minute, that just seems too narrow. That seems way too myopic. I mean, that circle, that target is just way too small. Any pleasure outside of Jesus is sin. But I dare you to write that down and sit with that this week and just type that into your phone and just rehearse that and just think on that. I'm not saying you have to agree with it completely. As I said, I've wrestled with that for about 35 years when they first started teaching me that. But why am I wrestling? Is because my flesh wants something outside of Jesus. My something inside of me desires something outside the boundary of God's word, and I think that is pleasurable, or I think that is the source of happiness. But I think I've done this long enough to understand that whatever is happening outside of Jesus is fleeting, it's temporary, it's momentary. And the only lasting joy in my life, the only lasting happiness in my life is that is rooted in my relationship with Jesus. Joy begins with Jesus. And it's powerful to me, because when I'm involved, when I'm connected to, when I'm in relationship with Jesus, that is when I find full and lasting fulfillment in my life. The truth is, Jesus is bigger. He's bigger than right now. That's why joy is so much more powerful. Lasting joy is so much bigger than our circumstance, because Jesus is bigger than our circumstance. Jesus represents our eternity. I'm not just being faithful because of whatever reward I think it is going to give into my life today, or whatever benefit I'm going to receive from being faithful today. I'm doing this because it is affecting my eternity. I'm not living just for the here and now. Yes, I'm going to occupy until he comes, so I'm trying to build the best life I can build. I'm trying to have a strong and blessed family here on the earth, but I know that every step I take and everything that I do, it's also building toward my eternity. Because I don't know about you, I've already made up my mind. I am going to heaven. I don't want the other option. I don't want the opposite of that. I want to go to heaven. I want you to go to heaven. I want to spend eternity with the Lord. Jesus in Matthew 6:33, this is the Amplified, so it gives explanation to what is being said. Jesus said, but seek, or aim at, strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, or his way of doing and being right. Not what I think is right. Not his kingdom or his righteousness according to my definition or my interpretation. How many know that morals have slid in the last 50 years? Man's definition of righteousness, man's definition of integrity, man's definition of what it is to have good character, all of those things have slid way, way back from what they were a generation ago. So let me seek these things according to his way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given you besides. If you'll seek first his kingdom, then these other things that you want to have happen in your life, they're going to happen because you put Jesus first. That's a part of the divine order. J-O-O is for others. If I'm going to have joy, I've got to do this in order. I've got to put Jesus first. I have to have others second. Because in this divine order, I am moving from selfish to selfless. I see others. I realize the weak need help, and I cannot ignore them. But if my life is only and all about me, if it's me, and that doesn't mean that I cannot take time for myself. But if life is all about me, then the joy flow will be stopped up in my life. Because I've matured from a place of getting to a place of giving. It's divine order. I've messed with you. But hold on. There's another letter. J, Jesus, others, O, why is yourself. Look at others for just another moment. Acts 20 and 35. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That's why I stay in order. I put Jesus first. I consider others secondly, and then why it is myself. You know why? Because Jesus wants us to have what we need. He wants us to have the desires of our heart. He just wants you to put him first. He just wants you to make time in your life for others, and then allow yourself to be last. But didn't the Bible say that the last shall be first? It's amazing how the word works. It's amazing how the divine order. It is a success in my life, because when my life is in order, I will always have what I need. It's when I get self-centered that things start to shake in my life. I mean, Y-O-J is not a word. J-O-Y is a word. Y-O-J, try to sound that out. Doesn't make sense. It doesn't work to put myself first. Doesn't work to put Jesus last in my life. I've got to have divine order. And when there is divine order, then there is a flow, and there is a phonetic concert, and it sounds right, and it's beautiful to hear, and it's something that I can reach for and that I can desire in my life. 1 Peter 5 and 7, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. If I will get in this order, if I will do this as the Lord is commanding and requesting and calling me, then everything is going to be satisfied in my life. So let me talk to you a moment about a life-changing choice. Week one, we talked about the first choice. That was to pray. And then we talked about the daily choice last Sunday. That is the choice to be right and to repent and to yield myself and humble myself to God every day. But today I want to talk to you about the life-changing choice. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 and 3. If you want to go there with me, or pull that up on your device, or you can even follow along on the screens. Isaiah 9, 2 and 3, the Bible said, the people walking in darkness. It's hard to walk in darkness. It's hard to walk when it is dark. You're worried about what you're going to trip on, or what you're going to step on, or what you may run into. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the deep darkness, a light has dawned. The darker it is, the easier it is to see light. Oftentimes throughout the week, you know, we don't keep the auditorium lit up. These Sunday lights are not on. These white bright lights, these stage lights are not on. The room is dark, and It is amazing how dark this room gets. But I'm just, you know, I'm coming from one side to the other. I've just come to pick up something. I've just come to grab something. So I'm always sure that I can do it in the dark. I know this building well enough. I've walked in here enough times. I can do this in the dark. I don't have my phone on me. I can't pull up the little flashlight. And so I find myself stumbling. And more than once, I have tripped over a row of chairs and ended up on the floor. I can't believe I'm telling that, but it has happened because I'm trying to walk in the dark. I'm trying to process in the dark, but if you give the slightest bit of light, if you can find any light to aim your life at, that is where we are as believers. We are living in a very dark world. I'm sure you have heard yourself say more than once the last few months, the last couple of years, the last, you know, however long recent history. I cannot believe my kids are being raised in this kind of America. I cannot believe what my children are having to endure in school. I can't believe the things that are happening. And it is. It's happening right before our eyes. We're still processing as a family. My son, I'm, you know, right here in sweet Covington, Georgia, being challenged by a teacher and just crazy things happening. And I don't want to tell his story or even draw attention to that per se. I mean, it's happening. It's not just things that you hear about on the news. It's not just these big cities, you know, that are godless or this or that. And no, it's right here. We're dealing with it right here. It is darkness. It is darkness in our world, but he said there is a light that has shined in the deep darkness. There is a light. He said, you have, verse 3, enlarged the nation. I believe that is the nation of believers. Even in dark times, the church is growing. Even in dark days, the church is getting stronger. The church is growing larger. Even in challenging times, there is increased joy. He's saying, you know what? I know you have been born for such a time as this. I know you are facing things that your parents did not face and your grandparents did not face. I know you're wondering why you were born at this time. So let me tell you how I'm going to compensate you. I am going to give you increased joy. I've purposed you to live in this season. You weren't born out of time. You weren't born to the wrong generation. You were born for this season. As crazy as this season is, as dark as this season is, as challenging as this season is, you have been born for this season. And to bless you and to compensate you for living in this season, I'm going to give you increased joy. Co-workers are going to be saying, how in the world? Why are you so happy? Did you not watch the news last night? Why are you so full of joy? Did you not read the paper this week? Yeah, I read it all. I saw it all. But my joy is not dependent on what I see in the news. Lord, have mercy, I'm preaching good. And some of you are not there yet. You're not there. There's an argument going on inside of you. No, wait a minute. I'm giving you the word. That's what the Bible says. We're supposed to have joy even in the darkest of times. We can live fulfilled lives. That's why the church is being challenged so significantly. Because she is not in her place and she is not realizing who she is, if I could take this word to every church in America, if I could tell everyone that would listen, wait a minute, our joy is not dependent on what the news report is. Our joy is not dependent on who is president. Our joy is not dependent on anything. Our joy is dependent on our relationship with the Lord. So if that is what gives me joy, I'm going to work on that and stop worrying about all the other stuff. Lord have mercy. I'm giving you increased joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. They're rejoicing as people who are blessed, people who stand back and look at their harvest. I've never planted a harvest, but I've watched PK plant some flowers. And every day, pulling into the driveway, the whole family, look at those flowers. Would you look at those flowers? Just look, they're thriving. Look at those flowers. Isn't that awesome? What she's excited because she planted something and it's growing. And we're all shocked. But it's growing, it's happening, it's fantastic. And as simple as that is, he's saying something that you were a part of, something that you outlasted, something that you just dug your heels in and said, you know what, I'm not going to be swayed by the circumstance of life. I'm not going to be moved by the storms or the winds that are raging. I'm just planting my feet in my relationship with the Lord. I'm staying in divine order. I'm keeping Jesus first. I'm serving others. And then the Lord is blessing my life. I know bad news is out there. I know there's trouble on every hand. But here I am, just remaining steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. And in spite of all that is happening, I am living a joy-filled life. But if it's going to happen, somebody say it with me, you have to choose joy. You got to choose it. You got to choose it. If you're waking up every day just wondering, all right, I'm waiting for the joy to hit me. All right, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the good news to come. No, you got to create it. You got to make it. You've got to build it. You've got to choose it in your life. Is anybody getting anything out of this word today? So number one, I've got four choices today. Life-changing choice. Number one, life-changing joy is inside out. Life-changing joy is inside out. My joy is not coming from external things. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I am not dependent on the external to give me joy on the inside. So if I can't depend on my circumstances to bring me joy, then I must create it and see it and choose it and allow the Lord to build it from the inside out. Here's the thing, when you get joy right on the inside, it will affect the outside. When you get your mindset right, when you get your heart right, you will change the temperature in every room you walk into. It's just a fact. It's a fact. It's a fact. But if I'm living life with external, you know, dependent on external things, external's got to bring me the joy in my life. Then I'm not going to change the atmosphere. I'm going to walk in and acclimate to whatever atmosphere is already set in whatever room I walk into. So if their mood is sour, because I'm dependent on external things, then I come in, their mood is sour. Guess what? I'm sour too. Life-changing joy is inside out. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 talks to us about the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It's interesting that joy is sandwiched right between love and peace. When I'm loving the Lord, when I'm loving other people, there's joy in my life. And when I have joy in my life, then guess what? Peace. Peace is next. I really believe that the heart, the motive, the intention of this series was to prepare you for the end of the year, to prepare you for holidays that are coming. I know the news is all up in the air. One day we can have Christmas with our families, and the next day we can't, and they can't make up their mind. They can't decide, you know, so since they can't decide, I'm going to decide. I'm going to decide to have joy. I'm going to decide to get along. I'm going to decide to work. I'm going to decide to have a Christ-filled season and to see the rest of my year be the best of my year, and to go into 2022 already full, already disciplined, already prepared to experience everything that Jesus has for me. Life-changing joy is inside out. Number two, life-changing joy is beyond circumstances. It's beyond circumstances. We've covered this. I think it's official and it's finally settled that our circumstances are probably not working for us. They're just not working for us. The enemy knows. The enemy knows that we are somewhat dependent and we are creatures of circumstance. And so he knows how to keep crisis swirling and to keep challenges coming and to keep issues just happening over and over in our lives. So I'm not worried about any of that. Jesus, don't you know the wind is howling? Don't you know the waves are crashing? Jesus, how are you sleeping in the middle of this storm? Because my joy comes from the inside out. I'm not dependent on what the wind is doing or what the rain is doing or what the news is saying. But guess what? Because it's from the inside out, I'm going to be able to walk to the bow of this boat and say, peace be still. And the waves are going to lay down and the wind is going to settle. Because what's happening on the inside of me can affect what's happening around me. Life-changing joy is beyond circumstances. This does not mean that there will not be good circumstances. I'm not trying to prepare you or set you up that, you know, things are just going to be, every day is going to be a bad day and every day is going to be a challenge. And no, there absolutely can be wonderful circumstances and situations. They are many in our lives, but you know what? I've determined to allow those to be the gravy. Those are the whipped cream. That's the lagniappe. That's something extra. That's just, you know, it was already good, and having a good circumstance just made it even better. But I'm not dependent on those things. Because you've heard the saying, if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. Well, if you live by the circumstance, you'll die by the circumstance. If you're dependent on the circumstance to be right, then the enemy's going to make sure that you never have a right circumstance. So it's got to come from the inside out and be beyond circumstance. Psalm 19 and 8, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Precept, the principles of the Lord. If I get this in my heart, the precepts of the Lord, they are right, giving joy to the heart. When I have joy in my heart, then no circumstance can take that from me. Number three, life-changing joy is with others. Life-changing joy is with others. Doing life with other people. That's why every week I encourage small groups and try to push you to get into rooms, to get into circles. It's wonderful what we're doing right here. You're hearing me proclaim and declare and to tell and to preach. But it's powerful when you get into the room with other people and you're able to share life and share stories and hear testimony and know that I'm among people of faith, people of character. Connect and do life with people who know how to laugh, people that know how to pray. Because this is a truth. This is a truth. The enemy, the thief, the pickpocket, he loves isolation. Loves isolation. When the lion is hunting, you know, chasing after a herd of whatever, they're always going to try to separate one. Going to try to separate one. Because it's easier to attack one than it is dozens. So the enemy loves to isolate. He loves to separate. He loves to move you away from people of faith and get you over here by yourself where you feel like no one knows and no one understands and no one knows what you're going through and no one knows what you're struggling with and no one knows what it is that you're dealing with. That's the lie of the enemy. I promise you, there's more than one in this room that knows what you're going through. Oh, we may not know the exact details, but there's somebody that's been through something that can testify, I got through it. I'm on the other side of it now. I'm beyond that. I'm healed from that. Life-changing joy is with others. So whether it's a small group or team church or coffee with a friend, get with other people. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. Here's the road I'm supposed to be on. Here's the path I'm supposed to be walking down. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's the path I'm on. I'm on the path that leads me to the presence of God. I'm on the path that puts me in rooms full of people who have survived and overcome and are victorious and have been renewed and are in revival. Life-changing joy is with others. Here's the fourth and final one. Life-changing joy is going to win. Joy is going to win. It'll always win. Joy will always win. In other words, you can't lose. You can't lose when you pursue Jesus' joy. You'll win in relationships. You'll win in life. You'll win in eternity. If you pursue the divine order, Jesus' joy in my life. Nehemiah 8 and 10. Let me close with this verse. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Isn't that beautiful? The joy of the Lord. That's my strength. I feel stronger today. I feel more capable today. I feel revived today because the joy of the Lord is at work in my life. Lord, I pray today. I pray for every challenged heart, every stressed out mind, every bad mood, every twisted thought of thinking, every lie the devil has told that says we'll never have happiness, we'll never have joy, we'll never see the goodness of God in the land of the living. That lie is rebuked. That enemy is defeated. Today I choose joy. Life-changing joy. Joy beyond my circumstance. Joy with others. Joy from the inside. I'm preaching to people and praying for people. Lord, I know it. I feel it in my spirit today. People that have broken heart. People living in defeated mindset. People that are struggling to even have concept for the word being taught today. Right now, in a moment, you can heal and turn and fix and renew. And that's what I'm asking you to do today. I'm asking you to heal and fix and renew. Our responsibility is to accept it. We know this is your will for our life. We know this is what you desire to do in our life. But we have to accept it. We have to push past every lie the enemy's told us, climb over every obstacle the enemy has set for us, and we have to accept it. We're going to tell people today, Lord, have a good week. But it's up to them to believe that is possible. And I believe they're going to. Because we're choosing joy. We're choosing joy. In Jesus' name, choosing joy. Yes. Come help me, team. We need a fresh wind,
the fragrance of heaven. Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out.
Oh.
A holy anointing. The power of your presence. Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out.
Say it again.
We need a friend. Fragrance of heaven, pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. A holy anointing, the power of your presence, pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out.
Pour your in just a moment. I'm telling you, I feel God so strong standing on this stage right now. If you're in this room today and you need joy, there's no judgment, there's no wondering why or what happened to them, what's going on in their life. If you need joy in your life, I'm talking about the grip of depression is trying to choke you. Worry is strangling you. But you feel this call and this draw. You may not know how the circumstances are going to work out. You may not have any fix or understanding of how things are going to turn or how things are going to solve or settle in your life. But you want it to start working from the inside to the outside. If you need joy, I'm inviting you to come. Step from where you are and come and join me in this altar. If you need joy in your life, if you need joy, pour your spirit out.
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 Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.